You know, it's I'm just so grateful to be a part of what God's doing in this church. I'm just telling you, just so thankful, so humbled to be a part of this church family. What a rich and vibrant history that this church has. And just so thankful to be a part of this chapter and this season, what God's doing in this day. And it's not better, it's just new, it's just next. And it's all because of the faithfulness of people who have come before us and that cloud of witnesses that we have. Going back to the days of the Bible and in from the 70s in Lawrence, Kansas, in this church, when God began began something as a movement amongst college students on the University of Kansas campus, and that still remains today and is moving forward, we're just grateful to be a part of it. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and then just be patient. We'll get there, all right? And I want to move quickly because there's lots to celebrate, lots to do this morning. But just, again, just so grateful to be a part of Rev City, and just want to welcome you once again. If you're relatively new this morning, thank you for just appreciating just the things that we're doing as a family this morning, honoring and acknowledging and laying hands on Terry and Kathy and setting them to that position. And then this morning, bringing our offerings and our faith pledges towards the Legacy Building Renovation Campaign. And so just want to preach into that and speak into that and encourage you and bring a visionary message this morning, just remind you a little bit about who we are and about what God's doing in our midst. And, you know, Jesus is the hope of the world. And everything that we do, everything we're doing this morning, it's all for him. And it's all because of him. And it's all the glory, it's all to reveal him. Come on, that's why we're called Rev City. We're called to revive people to life in Christ by revealing Jesus to this city, revealing Jesus to people. And it's all for him. And he's entrusted, however, the message of the gospel to you and to me. And it didn't have to be that way. It's a mystery. But he's entrusted the hope. The church is the hope of the world because the church is are the carriers of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And what a privilege and what an honor. It's not an obligation. It's an invitation that we have. And come on, can you think of anything that's more honorable than to partner with God to represent the life-saving, hope-giving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our city and to the precious people of our city? Amen? And so God is calling us, you know, he's renamed this church, Rev City Church. He renamed us, I believe, intentionally, and it's really quite difficult for him to have done, but he named us a verb. He renamed us a verb. He's spoken, he's calling us to be active. This church began as a movement on the university. And I appreciate what Pastor Nick Willems, our original full-time senior pastor, said in his book, and he said that the church is intended to be a movement, not a monument, and for the church to remain a movement, that there must be fresh winds of the Holy Spirit blowing on the church. And how many of you know that a lot of times God does something, and we can tend to get stuck in something that God's done. We can tend to get stuck in looking backwards, and the church at large in a lot of places has become a monument. All throughout Europe, there are these empty buildings, glorious buildings, that now stand as monuments to a previous movement. And I just want to say, can we just come together and agree that we never want to become that? That we want to be a movement. We want to be active and alive. Come on, we serve a resurrected King and we serve a living God. And he's given us a word that's sharp and active and alive, and it's ready to accomplish what God sent it to accomplish. And he's entrusted you and I as partners to reveal and represent Jesus and to preach and declare this gospel. And listen, our heart and our vision as we reveal Jesus, if we love Jesus, we'll love people. And he said, if you love me, he said, keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, he said, tend to my lambs, feed my sheep. And we can't have the heart of the Father without our heart becoming consumed and filled with love for people. And can I say, it's the love that we have for our church family, and it's also the love that God begins to fill our hearts with for the people that are currently separated and isolated and not yet aware of and not yet connected to the love of God in Christ. And can we just ask the Lord, Lord, would you just fill our hearts with compassion, with a deep compassion and a conviction, Lord, a compassion for the people of Lawrence that are currently lost or hurting or not fully connected to the relationship that we've experienced and are enjoying with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Come on, I mean, I'm really asking you right where you are. Would you just ask the Lord to just give you a fresh compassion for the lost and for the hurting? And Lord, we thank you as you begin to fill our heart with that compassion, that there's a conviction that we have that the only way to be saved is Jesus. And that the Word of God is what we are called to build our lives on, the unchanging, unwavering truth of God's Word. And we pray, Lord, that as we're filled with compassion for the lost and hurting and conviction that Jesus is the hope, that you would begin to give us also courage. Courage to begin to live as a light. Courage to begin to shine the light. Courage to begin to speak up and declare. Courage to begin to ask how we can serve. Courage to begin to pray and obey. Courage to begin to reach out and speak the heart of God and the word of God to those around us. Starting in our homes and in our workplaces and all throughout this city so that Jesus is revealed and many precious people are revived to life in Christ. Come on, and all God's people said, amen. We're reviving people to life in Christ, and we're connecting people to a spiritual family. And at the end of it all, it's what God gets. He inherits a family. And he loved you so much that he sent his one and only son to come and to make a way that you could know God as a father and a good father who has a heart filled with plans and hope and a future for you. And so family, we at Rev City, we talk often about family. You'll see a lot of times in the ways that we're reaching out to this community, it'll say, we are Rev City, we are family. And every family needs a home. Every family needs a home. And this morning, we're going to give our legacy offerings. And, you know, if you're visiting with us or you're relatively new to us, can I just release you? There's no obligation or you're not compelled to participate in that. We'll welcome you to, but just be released from any feeling of any kind of. In fact, the Word of God just says that we're not to give out of compulsion. We're to decide in our heart what God would have us to give and not give it in any way under compulsion, but to give it the way that God desires and appreciates, which is cheerfully. Amen. And so would you just appreciate that as a family, we're gathering today to invest in our home. And we believe in our spiritual home, in the place that we gather to worship and celebrate and build relationships and be discipled and equipped to discover who we are in God and discover more of who he is and then to go and live it out as a light to this city. And recently, you know, a while back, the Lord began to just highlight to us in our eldership about the need to begin to just generationally invest in this church property. And in previous seasons, the Holy Spirit had spoken to the men of God and the women of God that were serving in that season in the leadership roles of this church. And it called us to previous steps of faith to come together and to step out and to purchase land, whether it was on Michigan Street or Wakarusa Drive, and to come together in faith and in generosity, to come together to put the plans together and to construct facilities that we've gathered in over the years to worship and celebrate Jesus and grow in him. And in this season, we began sensing as elders strongly the Lord just calling us that in previous seasons, the call to faith and generosity maybe was to buy land or build a building, but that in this season, it was to gather together the hearts of our church family and to bring renewed excellence to the building that we're currently blessed to steward and to gather in. And so this morning, we're going to give our initial offerings and our faith pledges towards the Legacy Renovation Campaign. And it's an opportunity. Again, it's not an obligation. It's an invitation for us to invest in a place that's near and dear to the heart of God. Come on, the church is living stones, God's word says. It's not bricks and mortar. But there are places that God declares and God decrees and God sets apart and God consecrates and God calls all throughout the Bible the people of God to gather together and construct something and dedicate it to his name and dedicate it to his kingdom and dedicate it to his glory and to gather the people in that place so that they can come together and experience spiritual family and be discipled and equipped to become who they are in God. And come on, this place is special to the heart of God. And it's special to me. And I don't take for granted the faith and the generosity that previous generations have operated in so that we can own this building debt-free and so that we can gather in this building on not just on Sundays but all throughout the week for fellowship and discipleship and relationship. And every family needs a home. Every family needs a home. And come on, the church, as we're reaching out and we're inviting people to experience Jesus and experience the heart of the Father, I'm grateful that there's a place that we can invite them and say, come and experience a sense of family. Come and find relationships that are built upon Jesus and built upon the Word of God. Come and find a place where your marriage can be strengthened or restored, where you can find hope for your future, where you can find healing for your past, and where you can find power for the purpose of God in your life. Amen? This is our home, and it's special. And home is where God intends for us to find refuge. Home is where God intends for us to find relationship. And I'm saying that God intends for it because a lot of times in the homes that we grew up in, maybe we weren't blessed to have parents who knew Jesus and were serving God, and maybe there were some gaps in the things that God intended for you to experience in your earthly home. And can I just encourage you, if that's you, this church isn't perfect. And if you expect the church to meet every need that you have, you'll be let down and disappointed, because only Jesus can really truly heal and fill and restore and renew us. But my hope for you as your pastor is that the leadership of this church and the heart of this church is to build a place that's so built upon the love and the truth of God's word and the love of Jesus and the hope of Jesus and the compassion of the Father, that there's a place where you can come and find refuge, that there's a place where you can come and maybe God can use this spiritual family to fill in the gaps that you never had, but to fill in the places where maybe you didn't receive some of the things that God intended for you to receive from your earthly family. That this might be the place that you'll find that place of refuge, where in a difficult season in your life, you know there's a place where you can come and there's going to be a message and an atmosphere of hope and forgiveness. This can be a place where you can find relationship. And the Word of God says that there's one that sticks even closer than a brother. And the Word of God says that the Spirit that bonds us together and the unity of Christ is even thicker than the blood that relates us one to our family, to another. And that this would be a place where you can find refuge, a place where you can find relationship, that this is a place where we find values, the values of how to live out family, how to live out marriage, and they're found in the Word of God. A place where we find vision, where we connect to something that's bigger than what we can accomplish or do in our own strength. And we begin to discover the significance of being connected to a body, to the body of Christ, to a local church family that has a vision to bring life and freedom and change and transformation to our city. Come on, it's a place where we find affirmation. It's a place where words of life are spoken over us. And can I just tell you, that's one of the number one things that I see that is lacking in the world today. Our fathers that speak and declare affirmation over sons and daughters. And let that forever be part of the atmosphere of Rev City Church, that in this place, regardless of where you've been and regardless of where you find yourself, that in this place, the heart of the Father would begin to speak and declare through me and through our message and through the church family that you connect to, begin to speak and declare, even if it requires great faith because of some struggles you're walking through, even if it's prophetically, that we would begin speaking over you the purpose and the direction and the life and the affirmation of the Father over you and over who you are in Him. Come on, you were created for a purpose. And what God's begun in your life, He's going to see it come to pass. And this place is special, and it's like a home for a family, and it's a place where we're intended to find affirmation. Those are qualities of a good Christian home, and the same is true of this church. We gather here to find refuge, relationship, values, vision, purpose, affirmation, so that we can discover who we are, and I mean who we really are, not who we think we are or who the world says we are. Not who your situations or circumstances or past mistakes or failures are dictating to you who you are. I mean who you really are as a blood-bought child of the Most High God. A son or a daughter who Jesus paid a high price to make a way that you could become part of a spiritual family. Adopted as sons and daughters in spite of your past. Who you really are in Him. And to begin to discover who we are, not just discover it, but actually begin to be empowered and equipped to step into it and experience it and enjoy it and fulfill it. Come on, that's part of the vision, to be an active church, to be a church that empowers the saints to go and do the work of the ministry, not just to come and sit on Sundays. And last week we heard about Eli and Elisa Brooks, who are responding to the call of God and the gift of God and the grace of God on their life, and they're answering the call in faith and obedience and encouraged sacrificially to step out and receive the invitation to go and be the lead pastor of the Madison, Alabama campus for Daystar Church in Madison, Alabama. And if you weren't here last week and that's news to you, I just want to encourage you. We're so proud of Eli and Elisa, and we're grateful that they're not getting stuck, but they're hearing and they're obeying and they're stepping out in faith to go and pursue the thing that God has prepared them to do. And can I just tell you, and by the way, there's that was a moment in our service last week, and if you weren't here and you haven't had a chance, you can go on the website, revcity.com. You can go on Facebook, and you can look it up, and you can hear straight from them about what the Lord began stirring in their heart 8 months ago and how we've been walking through that with them and praying through it with them and trusting and seeking God for the confirmation about it. And come on, right now, can you just, if you're proud of them and excited for them, can you just put your hands together? And Elisa's right here, and Elisa's right here. Eli would love to be here, but he's in Colorado right now, right? That he and a bunch of guys from church went out and ran a Spartan race in Colorado, which I think is like a normal race, except you're carrying stuff while you're running, and you're going through obstacles and things like that. And he was telling me the other day, he was saying, Pastor T, he said, I'm doing good, but some of these guys that are on my team are training hardcore, man. Like, I went and ran with them the other day. They went on this long run, like 5 or 7 miles or something the other day, and he said, they were just talking. We were like 5 miles into the run, and they were talking to one another. And he was like, I could barely breathe. And I just encouraged him, and I just said, well, I would have been hurling, so you were doing good. At least if you were upright, you were doing pretty good in my book, you know. But we're proud of you, Elisa, and we're proud of you, Pastor Eli, and we're proud of your boys. God's called us to be active. God's called us to be movement, a church that's alive and active and on the move and making a difference. And in this season, this place that's important, this place where we discover those things, come on, and you need to hear that this morning. That's the invitation from me and from our leadership and from the heart of God to you. And if you're kind of on the outside looking in or you're kind of on the fence, can I just implore with you and invite you to come on, whatever it is that the enemy's used to keep you on the outside or keep you on the fence, can we just hear this morning from the heart of the Father and from me as your pastor, come and become a part of it in a greater way. Come and allow the Lord to begin to help you to find your place. Come and get connected to a relationship and a family in a way that the heart of God begins to speak through those relationships and bring that affirmation to you, who God's called you to be and what he's called you to do, and begin to connect to it and to begin to not just discover it, but connect to it and experience it. And this morning, we'll bring our offerings to invest in this house. And listen, as your pastor, Amity and I, we're grateful for the privilege of sowing in to what God is doing in our church. And I'm just telling you, it's like I mentioned a moment ago, I'm never going to compel you to give. Never. Never going to compel you to give. But you know one thing I do want to do as your pastor is I want to seek the Lord for a compelling vision. And I want to present a compelling vision that compels you to want to be a part of something, that compels you to want to invest in something, because we're active and we're on the move and we're convinced that God has entrusted us with the hope of the gospel, with the message of the gospel, and we're making a difference. Come on, when they called me and they began informing Amity and I about the opportunity and eventually the invitation to come here, they said, we believe that the Lord has given us a vision to transform the spiritual atmosphere of Lawrence, Kansas. And how many of you know that that's a big vision and it requires a move of the Holy Spirit? That's not something that can be done with a creative strategy or a campaign. That requires a move of God. That requires people to once again, in a new way, in a dedicated way, begin to seek God and call out to God and trust God and begin to pray and obey. But I'm grateful that there's a big vision. I'm grateful that they didn't say, we just want you to come in and just kind of manage what we've got. They said, we want to build and we want to grow. And we want to influence not just a community, but an entire city for the good of Jesus, for the glory of Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful to invest in a compelling vision. I'm grateful to be a part of something that's bigger than what I could do in my own strength. And I'm grateful to be a part of a vision that will require us to need and not just need, but desperately need God to show up. Come on, if it's something we could do in our own strength, I think our vision is too small. And I think God is in the business all throughout the Bible of calling imperfect people to step out and do big things for a mighty God. And he's still in the business of stretching our faith. He's still in the business of calling us to beyond what we can do in our own strength. And I'm grateful for the privilege of being a part of a culture that believes that way. I'm grateful to be a part of a culture that's not just saying it, but we're doing it. And come on, it's by the grace of God. It's not by our own might or our own power, but it'll be by the Spirit of God. Amen. But I'm grateful that we have a heart to see many people. People sometimes will ask, what's the vision of church? And I'll tell them about reviving people to life in Christ. I'll tell them about restoring reverence for God. I'll tell them about a revolution of faith and of family. And by the way, real quick right there, I want to make sure I jump back in that. But right there, real quick, as I just mentioned faith and family. You know, we're not just saying it, we're doing it. And part of that is like doing things like the EXO conference, investing in that and organizing it. It takes time and energy and resources and commitment to put on something like that. But our team rallied around it. Many of you came and served and gave and showed up and led the way. And last Sunday after our church service, I'm not going to mention names, and they're new people in our church family, so most of you probably wouldn't know them yet anyways, but Clint Kiefer, one of our elders, came up to me and he said, Pastor T, I gotta let you hear this. And there was a woman standing by his side who I recognized as having met a couple times before and having recently encountered just like the day before and the Friday before at the EXO conference. And she begins to talk to me. She says, hey, Pastor Thomas. And she says, you know, when we stood around yesterday, they had done such a magnificent job putting tables out all around out in the lobby and all throughout the foyer. And there was coffee and there were danishes and there were muffins and there were cupcakes and there were all kinds of things. And people were just felt like kings and queens, felt like the royalty that they are in Jesus. Amen. And they were just enjoying the company and the fellowship out there. And I was standing around one of those little cafe tables just having a conversation with this woman and the man who she introduced to me as her husband. And she said, Pastor T, I gotta level with you. The reality of the situation is we've been divorced legally for 8 months. And she said, we saw that you were having this conference, and I began asking him if he would go with me. And I didn't know what he'd say, but he agreed to come with me. And she just began to get emotional, and she began to say, and God touched our hearts while we were in the EXO conference. And we're rededicating our life to God, and we are pursuing, reconciling, and once again becoming married. Come on. That's a powerful testimony, amen? Come on, I'm grateful that we're an active church, that we're looking. We want to hear God, and we want to receive a compelling vision, and we want to step into it and obey. And there's a big vision, but it's accomplished one person at a time. It's accomplished one EXO conference at a time. It's accomplished one Pink Impact at a time. It's accomplished one Sunday sermon at a time. Doing those things faithfully and with all of our mind, heart, soul, and strength in a way that compels people to see and to taste and see that the Lord is good and come and receive the invitation of a relationship with their Father through Jesus Christ. So people will ask me, you know, what's the vision? I'll tell them we're reviving people to life in Christ and revealing Jesus and restoring reverence for God. And we're Jesus-centered, we're outward-focused, and we want to see a revolution of faith and family. They'll say, yeah, but how many people are you trying to reach? And I've grown to just love it, you know, because a lot of people associate that with the vision. And come on, I'm not saying that we won't have some strategic goals or metrics or things that we're measuring, things we're trying to get to. But I always love getting that question because it's an opportunity for me to say something that I personally believe is close to the heart of God, because we serve a God who desires that all would be saved, right? We serve a God who says he leaves the 99 to find the one, right? And so I always tell him, I say, well, you know what? The number of people we want to reach is the number of people in Lawrence, Kansas, and this surrounding region who are not currently connected to a life-giving, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. What's that number? What's that number? What's that number? Because come on, if we set our goal at 1,200 people, come on, we'll get there. And then are we satisfied? Because if we get 1,200 people to gather in this church, come on, praise God, that's a good thing to celebrate. But how many thousands of people are yet to be reached? What if we had the heart of God and the aggression of God in the way we approached our church and our faith that said, Lord, we know that your heart is broken over every last person, and even if there's just one, we're still going to be praying and dreaming and asking you to give us the strategy or the way to go and reach that person and present the gospel in a way that causes them to be saved. I'm grateful to be a part of a church, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to invest in a church home that's active and on the move. And come on, God's called us to be on the offensive. We're not on the defensive. We're on the offensive. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against people. We wrestle against spiritual forces. But the Bible says that our weapons, though they're not carnal, they're not fleshly, they're not the weapons that the world uses. They're spiritual weapons. The Bible says they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. They're mighty for destroying the works of the enemy. And you know that that's what Jesus said that he came to do. He came to give life and life abundantly. He came to seek and save the lost. But you know what it says? For this reason, the Son of Man appeared to destroy the works of the enemy. And come on, there's a war that's raging over people's lives. There's a war that's raging over people's homes. There's a war that's raging over people's hearts. There's a war that's raging over people's minds. There's a battle that's going on over Lawrence, Kansas. There's a battle that's going on over the United States of America. There's an Antichrist spirit in the world today. There's a battle that's raging, and God's called us to be on the offensive. And the Word of God says there, that's where it takes us to Ephesians chapter 6. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. And it goes on, and come on, just allow these things to just resonate in your spirit. These weapons, these things that God has blessed us with and called us to arm ourselves with. And it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of the dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after everything you have done to stand, come on, look at your neighbor and say, stand strong. Come on, look at your other neighbor who was your second choice and tell them as well, stand strong. So that you can do, after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness. Come on, our right standing with God that Jesus made possible for us, firmly in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then take the helmet of salvation. Come on, the renewing of your mind. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Come on, the Word of God is a sword. And we're not called to just be on the defensive, huddled behind the four walls of our church. We're called to become equipped and empowered in this very word so that we can go and continue the work of Jesus, destroying the works of the evil one. Amen? We're called to be on the offensive. He's called and postured us to be active. And he goes on, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Come on, say all occasions. With all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Come on, we're called to be, we're a force to be reckoned with. Some people say the church is dead or the church is dying or whatever. Maybe in some places it is, but I believe in those places it's because they've lost connection with their mission to be actively engaged in building the kingdom of God and declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the places where we stay alive and we don't allow ourselves to become spiritually atrophied, I believe that the church is alive and well. She's beautiful. She's bad. She's ready to make a difference and bring about the kingdom of God to any place where we go, to any place that our foot shall tread. Amen. That's the kind of church that I want us to be, and that's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. And in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And come on, that's one of the most important questions that you have to answer with your own life. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who is he to you? They went on and they said, well, some say Elijah, some say it's one of the prophets. And Peter, he said, you are Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, you've answered well. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. God, your Father, revealed this to you. And he said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And what did he say after that? He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Don't you find it interesting that he said that he didn't say the gates of heaven. He didn't say the gates of the kingdom. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's saying right there that I'm raising up something that's built on the revelation of Jesus as Lord. And it's going to go and it's going to be active and it's going to go and it's going to begin to reveal something. It's going to go and it's going to begin to end the places where the enemy has held people captive behind gates. In the places where the enemy has taken people hostage. In the places where people have become prisoners in their own homes and in their own hearts and their own minds. I'm building something that I'm going to empower people to go and begin to triumph, to begin to be victorious over those gates and over those prisons and over those places in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, he said, right from the start, he said, I'm building something and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. I've put a sword in your hand and I'm empowering you with my spirit. And I've given you weapons that aren't carnal but mighty. And I'm calling you to be active. Come on, if you're tired of being pushed around by the devil, maybe it's time you start pushing back. And maybe it's time you get engaged with the body of Christ. And maybe it's time you get a part, you become a part of a church that has an active, dynamic vision to bring about the kingdom of God and see a city, an entire city transformed one by one by one as people are saved and healed and set free and strengthened in God's word. Strengthened to stand, and not just to stand, but to move forward in the purposes of God for their life. Amen? Amen? Well, I want to invite the worship team to come forward. And I want to transition and just begin to lead us into our legacy celebration offering this morning. And come on, worship team, come on and just take your places. And I want to just take a moment, and I want to encourage you and thank you. And I want to thank you first for doing what I've been encouraging you to do over the last few weeks, and that's just praying and obeying. You know, the magnitude of the vision is great, but I believe that we serve a great God. And even the things that seem impossible with man, they're possible with God. And if we'll just put our trust and our hope and our faith in him, not in any person or not in any of our own strength, we'll just trust him. And we'll come and we'll pray and we'll obey and we'll do our part according to the grace that God has given us. And we'll give willingly what God speaks to our heart, not under compulsion, but with cheer and gladness and joyfulness. I believe that God's going to meet the need. He's going to provide the way for us to bring renewed excellence to our home. And, you know, I just want to say thank you for doing that, for praying and obeying. And I trust that when the Lord speaks to us, he's always going to speak something that challenges us in our faith. He's always going to speak. He's a giver. God's the greatest giver of all time. He's going to challenge us to generosity. And so I wrote you a letter. I sent you the envelope. We put it in your hands the last couple of Sundays, and you had it this morning. And if you'll just take that envelope out, many of you maybe came already pre-prepared with what you were going to sow today or what you were going to pledge for the future. But if not, I just want to give you a few moments to just seek the Lord and to just hear from him. That really is all I'm asking you to do, church. Just pray and obey. Just say, Lord, what would you have us to do? What's our part in this vision? What's, as it regards this vision to renovate and bring renewed excellence to this facility that is our church home, place that we treasure. And come on, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. He didn't say where your heart is, take your treasure there. He said, put your treasure there and your heart will follow. Where your treasure is, he said, there your heart will be also. Come on, every day is an opportunity to wake up and just say, where's my treasure at? Where's my heart at? And where my heart is often with what I'm treasuring. What am I seeking after? What am I going after? What am I trusting the Lord to help me to accomplish with my day and with my life? And I'm just telling you, there's a lot of things that Amity and I, what the Lord spoke to put on our heart to bring and to give and to pledge, there's a lot of things that we could do with it, and there's a lot of things that the world would say maybe that we should do with it. But we're joyfully and willingly sowing it into the kingdom of God. And we know that God is faithful. He'll meet our needs according to his riches and glory. We know that the soil of God's kingdom is good soil. Come on, it's the best investment that you can make. Amen. Sowing into God's kingdom. And so I just want to thank you as we prepare to come forward. We're going to do it a little bit differently this morning. And if you need an envelope, by the way, either even for just your normal tithes and offerings that you're maybe just bringing this week, if you're not maybe yet prepared to give your legacy gift, you need a legacy envelope or just a regular giving envelope, just lift your hand and these mighty men will get one into your hands. And I want to pray, and then I want the worship team to just minister. And I want you to just sit there and just... If you already know what you're going to do, if you already know what you're going to give, would you just hold it in your hand? And if you're there with your spouse, maybe just take him or her by the hand and just dedicate it to the Lord. And just thank him for providing for what it is he's stirred in your heart in faith to sow into this season. And Lord, I thank you for speaking. I thank you, Lord, for giving us the strength and the grace to obey. And we thank you. We declare, Lord, this building belongs to you. This church belongs to you. The vision of this church belongs to you. It all belongs to you. It's all for you. It's all through you. And so, Lord, even this offering and this campaign, we entrust it to you. We hold on to it with loose hands, Lord. We hold it before you. And we say, Lord, it's a privilege, not an obligation. It's our privilege to receive the invitation to sow in this season in Jesus' mighty name. So if you'll do that, while the worship team just ministers, just stay seated. And just stay in a posture of just prayer, hearing the Lord, or dedicating what God's put on your heart to give. And then we're going to do it a little bit differently this morning. We're going to celebrate it. I'm going to come back here in just a few moments and release you to, through the second half of this song, to come forward, to step out of your seats, and to come forward and to give your offering in one of these baskets that's located right here at the front.